teachers. It's lesson 13. Can you believe it? We've gotten all the way through a quarter of 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. This one actually nicely fits at the end because it's talking about the coming end, the day of the Lord that's coming. And the big idea here is that every believer can understand the coming day by answering three questions. I know my whole life I've been told that Jesus is coming back, and I believe it. I believe it can, it's imminent. It could happen at any time. That following that will be judgment, you know, and that God will then bring in a new heaven and a new earth. That's a very rough approximation of what's going to happen. And that's what Peter here is talking about. And the big idea of this lesson is that every believer can understand the coming day by answering three questions. The first question being this: why hasn't this day come yet? Why hasn't God come back? Why hasn't Jesus come back? And the basic answer he gives is that so that people have a chance to repent and be saved. It says this, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, 2 Peter. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Some people take that as the exact calculation. Others understand, and this is where I land, that he's saying that God's accounting of time is not necessarily our accounting of time. In fact, we can say that God exists outside of time and space, or at least this time and space. God has his own timetable, essentially is what it's saying. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some may count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason he hasn't judged yet, it's saying, it's not because he's like a dad who's mad in the moment and says he's going to punish or discipline the kids, and then later on he just doesn't feel like it. No. He is staying his hand of judgment. Why? Because he wants all people to come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This week, actually today, I had someone say, hey, you and your wife, you pick a Friday night in the next few weeks, and let's go out to eat, you know? And when you do something like that, you pick a date and you plan for that date. You kind of negotiate with the person you're dealing with, and you have it on the schedule, and you orient your life towards that in that sense. If someone's coming to rob your house, they don't call you ahead of time. they don't say, hey, is next Tuesday good for you for getting robbed? You know, that's not how that happens. And what he's saying here is that God's timetable on this is not to work it out with us to let us know when would be a good time. He's coming on his timetable when he wants without our knowledge. It could be at any time. So in a sense, we have to be ready for it all the time. At our church, we have alarm systems and camera systems. Why? Because we know that we have a stewardship of this property, and we want to make sure and maintain that we know what's happening and who's in and who's not. Because at any given time, someone could go against our wishes and our desires for what happens here. It's the same thing. We have to be ready all the time because Christ could come back at any time. And we need to work like while we can, while we have the time, because there comes a time when we can't work. He says, it's going to come like a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The earth as it is now will not be forever. There will be a coming judgment. Here's question number two. If that's true, then how should I live? And he says, essentially, live a holy life. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, all what things? The whole heaven and the whole earth, right? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. He's like, essentially, if it matters what's going to happen in the next life, by the way that you live now, live a holy life, knowing that at any time Christ could come back. Nevertheless, verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Man, I cannot wait for that. A new heaven, a new earth, no curse, no sin. It's going to be amazing. He says, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Christ could come back at any moment. And so we should live a life being ready to see him and to present ourselves to him in the way that he wants us to. And so, because he's coming back at any time, we should live a holy life. Why? Why should we do that? That's question number three. Why should we do that? Because otherwise we'll fall. And that's what he's talking about here in 2 Peter 3:15. He says this, an account that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation. What does that mean? If God's giving us a chance to make it out of this earth alive, we should take that chance to get the gospel to people so that they can be saved. That's the idea. He mentions here, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom giving unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, essentially, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. He's saying, you need to listen up to what the rest of the scripture says about this very topic of Christ coming back and that kind of a thing, his long suffering. He says, don't wrestle with it in the sense of fighting with it. Understand what he's saying. Understand what Paul's saying in the scriptures and follow it. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, meaning before they happen, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He is essentially saying, make sure you attend to knowing and believing and living by these things, otherwise you'll fall. Don't fall. Don't fall in living out what you should be living out. Verse 18, but instead of falling from steadfastly living out Christ's likeness, verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. What we do now before the day of the Lord comes is we continue to grow so that we can be steadfast doing what? Counting that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. We need to be saved. Those around us need to be saved. Our loved ones need to be saved. People far from us need to be saved. And every day that God doesn't come back in judgment, he's doing it because he wants all men everywhere to repent and obey the gospel. So what do? We repent and obey the gospel, and then we give that gospel to other people. I hope this helped you as you thought through the lesson, and I hope you enjoyed the book of, all three letters, 1 and 2 Peter and Jude. Have a great Lord's Day.